This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Wayland McQueen.
And it's playoff time, baby. Yay! October baseball is here. And it's here to stay. It's never going away.
It's October forever.
We are recording this. We're in the seventh inning of the NL Wild Card game. As we record this, Craig Counsell just sent up Drew Pomerantz to hit for himself for some reason. Smart baseball.
With one down, up
with
two.
One down, up two. Strange managerial decisions. Hey, and speaking of managers, we're going to talk about the manager hot stove and how the carousel is already spinning. just going to see how many metaphors I can fit in here.
Microwaves have carousels.
The hot microwave is spinning. After we do that, we're going to make our playoff picks, which this is a good time to record. We sort of hacked the system so we can get ahead of the NL
picks.
Wild card
game?
Yeah, or we can make our picks and then be victims of a dramatic collapse.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't know if we've set ourselves up good or well or poorly.
I feel like by making predictions, we are setting ourselves up poorly. the very nature of predictions.
Yeah, especially this season, we've made some pretty poor predictions.
Boy, have we.
Including burying the Nationals. Although, to be fair, I was looking back, and they were 12 games under 500 when we made that poor prediction. So I think, you know, if we make that prediction 100 times, probably 90 times we're correct.
We're correct.
At least.
Yes. We're fine.
We're
good.
Before we get into anything else, though, we want to thank Boardwalk Audio and OffTheBenchBaseball.com for their support. Check out Boardwalk for tons of great podcasts. Check out Off the Bench for playoff analysis. The time of the year when you need analysis the most.
Well, this is the time of the year you need playoff analysis the most.
Yeah, that's true. playoff analysis in February is a little bit of a dead horse. Playoff analysis in, say, like June, a little bit too early to be saying these are playoff games that I'm analyzing. Good point, Waylon.
But it's a good time for analysis. But it's also like weirdly the most like crapshoot of a time.
Oh yeah,
because it's all small sample size, so it's a ripe time for analysis, but it's also a ripe time for the analysis to not matter.
yeah. My analysis from November 2018 that Steve Pierce would be the MVP of the American League in 2019 did not age very well.
Oh, not at all.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk about those managers. Let's talk regular season before we get into our playoff picks.
Before managers, can I just, this is so surprising you.
Ooh.
What is your overall feeling about this season?
My overall feeling about this season, that's interesting. I thought it was an enjoyable season without very many highs or lows. Like it felt like we talked about it a little bit, I think, on other podcasts, but it felt like it was sort of just chugging along the entire season.
Yeah.
And we never really got any earth shattering happenings, you know, like I guess in September it picked up a little bit with like Yelich getting injured and the Brewers making their run and the Cubs collapse. But for the most part, it felt like the good teams were good and the bad teams were bad, and that was the season. But I still enjoyed it.
The Cubs collapse was so swift.
It was dramatic.
Remember those collapses, like when the Braves collapsed or the Red Sox? Like it seemed like that was like a...
It was like a slow-motion
like
car
saga.
Wreck or
something. And then those Cubs just like had one four-game series, and that was it. At the same time, the Brewers were winning, and then it was just like... Well, that's the end of that.
they picked a bad time for it, for sure.
Yeah.
It was a shocking collapse, I will say.
Oh,
that.
It really just was, yeah.
That they couldn't pull out any of those Cardinals games and just kind of seemed to, like, roll over.
And it came right after they scored, like, 40-something runs in a three-game series against the Pirates, and then all of a sudden they were just done. They had some injuries, whatever. We don't have to dwell on it. It's a big bummer, but...
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll talk about it when we talk about managers in a second.
Right.
But what was your feeling on the season? Do you have any other headlines?
I feel the same way. It's like crazy to think that like there are four 100 win teams, which I don't think
that's never happened
has ever happened before, right?
Correct.
There are four.
Yes. And the Braves had like 98 or something.
And and Acuna getting hurt. Maybe they would have won more. Nah, he's probably not worth one win over like eight games. But, and we had 300 lost teams, or was it four of that too? But it like even with 100 win teams, it just seems so like we knew the Astros and Dodgers were going to win 100 games. It was pretty apparent the Yankees were probably going to win 100 games pretty early or close.
Right.
Like just because the races weren't there. I agree with you in the assessment that it just kind of chugged along. Nothing. The injuries kind of sucked the fun out of the 240-40 possibilities in the National League. Not getting to see Trout for a month sucked. There weren't any like.
I would say the word that I would describe the season as is inevitable. Like it felt like for the most part, like the division champions were inevitable, and then at a certain point, the sort of wild card champions were inevitable too.
Yeah.
With the notable exception being the Brewers.
But even then, like the Cubs' collapse was so big that like pretty much a week out, we knew that it was probably their only race was Brewers and Cardinals for I mean, there was the Indians hung around for a while in the AL, but
yes, I think that the other thing about this season obviously is like the year of the home run. And
did you see that article? I think it was an SB Nation where they just like went through all the different home run records that have been set.
No,
like it's absurd. Just like all the different of like most teams with players hitting 20. You know what I mean? It's just like every angle of home run record
just
that
demolished.
You can think of has just been demolished for the most part.
307 for the Twins. Whew. It's like almost two per game.
They had like six people hit 30 or five or something like that.
So I guess like even that felt inevitable because it was clear like very early in the season, like, oh, something is different here.
Yeah.
And when, the Twins came out just like absolutely murdering balls for the first half of the season.
I am happy that they didn't collapse because that was like, they were the candidate, right? They were the candidate in August.
Yeah, seemed like it.
Or even July for the Indians to catch them. And then they maybe
the
don't
Indians
even make
got
wild card.
Very close. But then, they had injury problems of their own.
I'm happy for the Twins. Alonso, I guess, is a big thing. That was fun.
Yeah.
Ryan Howard 2.0 is.
gosh, I hope things go better for him. Than
I do, too. That was,
Howard.
That was crazy. But, I mean, he is. He can do one thing, and he can do it very well.
This is true.
But that's, I guess that was like the big thing, is Alonso breaking the rookie home run record. And
I mean, tied into the home runs. I think the Twins breaking the team home run record was maybe a little bit bigger headline, I would think.
You think so?
I would say so, but maybe that is like sort of bias of me paying attention to the AL Central.
But that was also, that was also something that seemed inevitable because they broke the record.
Yeah,
like 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago. And so hitting 300 was like pretty cool. But that was just like we knew probably like that was the thing honestly in June that it would like probably
right.
the odds
like,
in
this
Vegas
is gonna happen.
Yeah,
right.
It was gonna happen unless something crazy happened. It is cool. What about the how do you feel? Oh, I can talk to you about this. No more WGN games.
Oh.
I know it's like one of those like nostalgia doesn't really matter things, but it's like we both grew up watching WGN.
Yeah,
our teams on WGN.
Yeah, it's interesting. It is like a little bit of an end of the era or the end of an era, I think, for Chicago baseball fans. But for me, like it happening a year after Hawk retired is kind of like last year was the end of the era. You know,
I get that.
Hawk and Wimpy is who I think about, and Darren Jackson on WGN, as well as Harry Carey and Steve Stone. I know, that Harry Carey obviously has not been on the air for many years,
but
Steve Stone has not been with the Cubs for many years.
Yeah.
But like that, that's who I think of, and so like, it doesn't, it maybe doesn't feel as impactful as it could.
Yeah, and then I don't know about the White Sox, but the Cubs, I think we're down to like maybe less than 30 games on WGN.
Yeah, it was like a game a week maybe for the Sox.
The SB Nation Cubs page did like a big five-part like retrospective on it, which made me like a little like, oh yeah, that was nice. That's how I got introduced to the Cubs. But then I was like, for sure. I don't care. I don't like. They brought up at the end is like, if you subscribe to MLB package,
right?
Like,
all
you know,
the games
like,
are the same,
and
all
it's
going to
be Len and JD.
Yeah,
it's the same every time. So it's like,
I think
it's like a, and the Cubs leaving WGN Radio like 3 years ago or whenever was more of like a whoa to me.
And now the White Sox are on WGN Radio.
Oh, right, yeah.
I think one thing that like, I don't know for sure that it was the last of the sort of broadcast deals with like a broadcast network. Like, I think that is worth memorializing is like when I was a kid, you know, all the Diamondbacks games were on WB and so, and then CW so anybody could watch them if you had a TV.
Right.
And like, then it was kind of a big deal when teams started transitioning to cable. And now it's like completely normal. Like, I don't think apart from the national games, like as far as I know, there is no team with a regular network TV presence in their local market. And like, that's a little bit of a bummer. Just like, it definitely shows that, you know, baseball and sports in general are catering to a different and more moneyed audience than it used to.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't think about that. And yeah, the Cubs have their own network now.
Right.
That's what they're
Which
doing.
I think right now, right, neither... It's like half of Chicago is not getting one of the channels or something like
really?
That. Like, I think
it's like
NBC,
a Dodgers thing. Like when,
yeah, exactly. It's like the Dodgers are only on Time Warner, and it's like NBC Sports is only on Comcast, maybe? Because Comcast owns NBC and like not on DirecTV, and maybe the opposite is true with the Cubs' new network or something
weird.
Like that.
Hopefully they get ironed out. I'm sure it will. Anyway, those were like my big things I've been thinking about.
Yeah.
You know, end of season, but...
I hadn't thought much about the WGN thing, but
I hadn't either until I saw that retrospective, and then it like made me.
I think it's noteworthy for sure. It's akin to like a broadcaster retiring in many ways, you know.
Yeah.
Without the like personal face, obviously, but like this is the place where you got baseball for decades.
Yeah.
Now,
like the graphics and the when they had to do the station breaks to like WGN, stay
and the
tuned. Yeah.
Fucking Xena Warrior Princess commercials that were running constantly. Xena and Hercules back to back.
Oh man, they ran those all the time.
Yeah, and they had some terrible sitcom that I remember seeing commercials for as well. That was like, it was like in a Southern restaurant or something. And like, I was like, what is this? Like, I only see commercials for this on WGN.
They had like a weird, like sci-fi show too.
And they all, but they also reran old Star Treks. I think, think they had like old Deep Space Nines or whatever. And then they had, some kind of other like,
that is, I don't know. I don't know.
Biogen.
I don't know what that station was. I only watched it for games.
Yeah, strange.
I did read in this thing, though, that WGN invented the point of view that we all see.
Oh, the center field camera?
The center field camera, because it used to be behind the batter, and they didn't have room. Yeah, video game style. And they didn't have room at Wrigley. So they just had to throw a camera in center to do it.
There's just like a guy standing in front row in like, front of like a dozen people. Just like, a little handheld camera.
I don't think they had that. I think they're like the giant like camera. So that was the
Wrigley
thing.
Field's shittiness helps again.
Sets a standard. So speaking of Wrigley Field shittiness, Joe Maddon is gone.
Joe
Maddon wasn't that shitty.
On the outs.
He's on the outs. Ned Yost retired.
Smith got fired. Andy Green got fired.
Did Clint Hurdle get fired? Or
yes, Clint Hurdle
so
got
he's
fired.
Gone.
That's five.
Bochy's retiring.
So we're at
six.
20% of the league getting new managers, which is
that's
interesting.
The math. That we know of.
Yeah.
I don't know who else would be on the chopping block, I guess. But
yeah, I mean, I guess maybe Davey Martinez, although they played so well to end the season. But if they lose here...
who knows what the Red Sox are going to do at this point? Because
It seems like they're committed to Cora.
But there's
going to
be a new front office, probably.
True.
Rumor is it could be Theo.
The return of Theo.
I talked to a Red Sox fan today, and there's some little
chirping.
It could just be chirps.
Of course, there would be. Like whether it's true or not, it makes sense.
True.
It's the same thing. Actually, there was like chirping in White Soxville that like the White Sox would hire Joe Maddon and fire Rick Renteria.
What would Renteria do? Just like, he'd have to have like a voodoo doll or like a he's throwing darts at Joe
Biden's
face.
Like, of course there's no truth to that, but no, like, that's all. Just the kind of thing that people would chirp about because it's like too juicy to not.
Oh, of
you know. So let's talk about Madden specifically like obviously that's the most noteworthy one apart from Bochy maybe, but Bochy is retired.
And we knew that for the whole
Yeah, we knew it for a while. Yeah. Madden obviously a World Series winner. Things have gone downhill since then, but they did make the playoffs 4 years in a row, which they've never done. Four out of the 5 years he's been there.
Yeah, NLCS, three of those years.
Yeah, so like it's interesting because it and strange because it kind of seemed both like nonsensical, like why would you do this, and also like completely natural and made a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Which is sort of just an interesting thing about like the lifespan of managers, I guess, in a way. It's like it's kind of like you got to keep winning and you got to like keep like somehow keep the team behind you and keep it fresh. It makes Joe Torre's run in New York like a lot more impressive when you think about somebody like Madden or like the multiple World Series winning Red Sox managers, Francona and Gibbons and
Bobby Cox.
Yeah.
Bochy? I mean, that makes Bochy seem impressive.
So, like, what are your feelings as a Cubs fan on Joe Madden now and on the decision to not renew his contract, I guess?
So, I have no ill will towards Joe Madden, which would be crazy. I feel like if you're a Cubs fan, you, like, hate Joe Madden. You're an idiot. Like, but I feel like, I mean, I probably said it on this podcast, I must have, like, I've been ready for him to go pretty much since he won the World, like, you know, like, I was not thrilled with the way
you didn't like some of his moves during the World Series,
so I would have blamed I would have given him probably an unfair amount of blame, the same that Dave Roberts gets for the Dodgers,
right?
For if they would have lost that World Series. And I think he could be a good manager for a bad team, but I think he's better on a good team. I think he's good at managing a good team. And I don't know if he's, I described it to someone. This is the metaphor that we can understand. If you're on an improv team and you have a good coach, but it's just time. It's time to move on and get a different
point. Just need a fresh voice.
And I think because the Cubs have had 2 years in a row now where they've underachieved and barely, like last year, they barely made it to the playoffs. And then they lost two games that they needed to win. One to not have to play the wild card game and then the wild card game. Not that that's necessarily Joe Madden's fault, but I feel like it's going to be hard to come back out there for Joe Madden again. I think it's going to be nice to have someone new. Now, the thing that is going to, if the manager is demonstrably worse next year, I'm going to miss Joe Madden.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing.
Of course.
You're rolling that dice to find someone that successfully injects.
Yeah.
But if it ends up being like a...
Joe Madden has sort of like a baseline for performance where you're like, you know that the team is going to not hate him and that he's going to make, you know, not too many entirely boneheaded decisions.
Yeah, but I feel like it's just one of those things. It's like, it's time to move on. Like, let's, like, it's worth a shot. Like, I don't think that they're going to be that much worse under him. Unless, again, the manager that they pick ends up just being a real shit show.
Yeah. I think, like, there's something to be said, too, for this was the only move that the Cubs front office had to shake things up.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
Like, they didn't want to go into next season with this sense of you know, stillness, of sort of the team sagging under the weight of itself, but, like, they have a high payroll, they have a bad farm system, and they've got guys locked in at pretty much every position. So, you know, it's not like they're going to bring in Garrett Cole, right?
No, of course not. They're not even going to bring in, like, Zach Wheeler. Like, they're not going
to,
like...
So it's like, if you want to change the feel of the team, like, you know, that's the lever to pull because it's the only one, I think. But what they have now is the danger of being the 2018 Nationals, where that's exactly what they did to Dusty Baker, They were like, yeah, he's been a good manager. The team has been good, but like, we just don't see us going any farther with him. And then they took a massive step back under Davey Martinez.
That is like
a Joe Maddon disciple.
That's like the true worry. And I'm hoping that Theo's calling like Rizzo and Bryant and Lester and whoever makes sense in to be like, who do you want? You
well,
know what I, mean?
I don't know if that's a good decision. What if they all say Dave Ross?
What if he's a great manager?
Maybe, but
there's no reason he's not going to be a great manager. I mean, there's no reason he is.
I mean, managers hired fresh off the street without any coaching experience have a pretty poor track record, I think.
Tell that to Paul Molitor.
Tell that to Robin Ventura.
No, I know.
Tell that to
Ryan Sandberg.
Tell it to Brad Ausmus. Yeah. Tell it to...
Mike Matheny.
Yeah, Mike Matheny, exactly.
No, I get it. I mean... I think they would probably pick Ross, and that might be the direction we're heading. But like,
maybe, maybe it works. But
who,
like that
who
wouldn't
else
be the dice roll
like,
that
like,
I would
who,
take.
Who?
Joe Girardi.
I mean, that wouldn't be too bad. Girardi's a good manager. He's just so different than Joe. That's the other thing is like, I hope like it can't be like such a. That's why like the Royals rumor that they're going to hire Matheny is so stupid because you couldn't find someone more the opposite of Ned Yost.
Well, I think when you do a manager change, you kind of want the different voice because there's really only like two modes of manager, right? It's like players manager or like hard ass.
But Ned Yost is retiring, so that's a different. The Royals aren't choosing to move on from Yost.
But like, I think if you're the Cubs, you don't want a guy who's exactly like Joe Maddon to come in.
But
you want like a Joe Girardi who's a little bit more of a hard ass.
But I don't think you want like a. I don't think you want to do like a 180 and. And get, I don't think you don't want like Tony La Russa now. Like,
well, I think you'd always want Tony La Russa just because he's a Hall of Fame manager. Although
he's a Hall of Fame manager for the way baseball was in the 80s and 90s. But like, I think you don't want exactly Joe Maddon, but I also don't think you want the opposite of Joe Maddon.
No.
And again, like if I go back to like the improv coach metaphor, it's like it's not like you want someone who like is wildly different. You just want someone that has a different take. And I think that team's problem is that like they just seem to get in their heads or complacent. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if like a hard ass coming in fucking laying the smackdown on Javi Baez is the answer either.
Yeah, right.
Like I think that you just need someone that deals with them in a different way or has just like a different perspective or like it could just be an optics thing.
You
like
know
a
who
placebo.
They need? You know who the Cubs need?
Who?
Ozzie Guillen.
You know who they probably need is Edgar Renteria. Or not Edgar, Rick Renteria. Like, he probably would be great. Right?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Like, I think he's a pretty good manager, and, like, he seems to be pretty good with the players.
He's all right. The biggest thing in his favor is that, yeah, the players like him and haven't quit on three terrible seasons in a row.
Yeah, I really don't think Rick. I think Rick Renteria could have done a pretty good job. I mean, you gotta go with Joe Maddon when he becomes available.
Yeah, of
course. Like, I think that would be the type of guy that seems different enough from Maddon, but seems not so different.
It'll be really interesting to see what direction they go in. You know, do they go with somebody with a ton of experience, or do they want to break in a new guy? It would be a lot of pressure to break in a new guy, I think.
Yeah, that I would rather have somebody with a little experience, but you don't want one of those. Like, you don't want Dusty Baker.
Like, well, I don't know.
Well, they've already
maybe
done
you
that.
Do
they've
want
already,
Dusty Baker.
They've already done it anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't think they'll... Yeah, you don't want... Girardi's not bad, though. I like Girardi.
Former
I haven't
Cub.
Even really thought about it that much, because...
I think Girardi would probably be the dream hire for them, but he also just agreed to, like, manage Team USA, so maybe he's indisposed.
Back out of that to take the Cubs job?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he wants to stay in broadcasting for a while.
I'm not bummed. Obviously, I will remember Joe Maddon...
Fondly.
As fondly as you can remember a manager because he won World Series.
Yeah.
Like he navigated World Series.
And we'll see. The rumor is that he'll go to the Angels, so we may not miss him around baseball. He may be right back there.
Can you imagine? I mean, I think that's a good... I think that would be a great move for the Angels.
Yeah, I also... this may have just been speculation, not rumor, but I heard Padres. That would make sense, too. They would be in a pretty similar spot to the Cubs and the Rays when he started both those jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. It's almost exactly the same.
Yeah. Quick thoughts on Ned Yost before we get our playoff predictions.
I'll tell you what. I've roasted Ned Yost plenty of times, probably on this podcast and in text threads with
Roasted Yost.
Yosted. I read a lot of, you know, goodbye Ned posts and kind of he won the world. He won a World Series with the Royals.
He did what he had to do.
He went to two straight World Series with the Royals, and he is not a good tactical manager. But
he, see, the thing that, like, Ned Yost made some dumbass decisions right up until the end, you know, like, in terms of just, like, the way he ran his team and sort of the, like, strategies he took. But I will say, like, he evolved as a manager. Like, he, like, from...
Yeah.
When he was hired to, like, sort of the way that he started using that Kansas City bullpen, like, extremely aggressively, and it led them to a lot of success. And, you know, the defensive team they ran out there, I don't know how much direct credit you can give him, but I think one of the places where a manager can make a difference is team defense.
Yeah.
And who he's choosing to align where and stuff like that. And so he, like, evolved enough to the point where he did not hold the Royals back from winning the World Series.
No, and they, like, it wasn't his fault that they didn't win in 2014, you know, like,
yeah,
like, he almost won two straight World Series with
pretty and wild, like,
and batting Alcides Escobar till the very end, like,
at
leadoff. Like, he, I mean, like, everything
he got
I've read
lucky,
about,
let's say that for sure.
Yeah, but it seems like the players love him, and he kind of, like, you got to give him credit for sticking around with 2 years of terrible Royals teams. And everyone says he kind of, instead of doing the thing where you hire a manager for when they're bad and then hiring a manager for when you're going to get good, like, he was the manager for when they were bad again. And everyone talks about how he managed them and set them up to be good again. As how much you can believe that the Royals are in a good position to be good again is aside from Ned, but it's his and the organization's feeling that he was like, I'll stay with here and now I'll pass it off to the
Mike
upswing.
Matheny.
To fucking Mike Matheny.
That would be a terrible hiring.
I'll always give him shit and everything, but he's almost like the uncle that is kind of the loser, but you always give shit, but you love him. He has the most wins in Royals history, but still has a losing record. Like, it's so bizarre. I'll give him
credit from a career perspective too, for, like, coming back from being fired by the Brewers
like
before the playoffs started. Like, that's a nut.
He took it in stride too. Like, he took a lot of
dignity in Ned Yost.
Yeah,
let's say that.
A lot of dignity, and he was really good at taking heat off players. Like, he would not let players deal with any negative shit in 2014 or 15 or 16 when they were bad, or, like, they weren't terrible, but I don't know. I think he's a bad manager, but I think he's, like, a great face. He's a great manager as far as everything, but on the field. But, like, there's something
but
to be
that
said
is
for
like
that. Yeah.
80% of a manager's job,
yeah,
probably.
Especially
so.
Now. So I don't know. It was interesting, and I mean, he needed to go, in my mind. It's probably similar to how you felt about Ozzy, maybe, even though Ozzy was a maniac. It's like a different way
Ozzy,
that he wore out his welcome.
Flamed out pretty hard.
But I mean, he won.
No, he, I always he, have a soft yeah. spot for him, especially now that he's, like, just on the White Sox pregame shows. He's still a lunatic. I mean, I don't get to see much of the pregame shows, but the clips that I see, it's like, oh, this is what you should be doing. You're perfect for this. You'd, like, just shout up. He's like the Charles Barkley of White Sox games. Great. Like, he should be on the national games.
Yeah. But you'll always love him, even though he's maybe not the best manager of all time.
Yeah, for
or
sure.
Maybe the Cubs. Maybe he'll be the Cubs manager.
Yeah. Who is the best manager of all time? Torrey?
God, it almost have to be, man. Earl Weaver, maybe. I don't know, like Casey Stengel or...
I can't judge a manager who I've never, you know, who is dead,
like,
before I was
alive. I mean,
alive.
He's like, whatever, like, went to 8 World Series in 12 years or whatever. Like,
yeah, there was also only like 6 teams then.
And he had Mickey Mantle and Whitey Ford and Yogi Bear. But I mean, I don't like the greatest manager that I've seen.
Who is the Brooklyn Dodgers manager?
Leo DeRocher.
DeRocher. He's probably got an argument.
Yeah, I think it. To me, from everything I've read, it would be like Weaver or Stengel or, because Weaver was like really innovative. Like he was like on base percentage. He was like the two bloops and a blast, and like, was good with pitching staffs. From what I read, like it feels like he was like ahead of his time. I don't, Tommy Lasorda was pretty good.
Yeah.
But the greatest that we've seen is, got to be Torrey, right? Like who else is even in that? Bobby Cox.
Yeah, maybe Cox. I don't. Yeah, I can't think of any names.
I'd put those above like La Russa or Pinella.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of have to have won a World Series at least. So I mean, Bochy's won three.
Bochy's pretty good. He was really young when he got the Padres job too. I just learned he's like in his 30s.
Oh yeah.
But
Anyway, neither here nor there. Just curious.
Francona's pretty good.
Yeah.
I feel like Francona is up there.
Oh, definitely. Man, I wish the White Sox would have hired him instead of Robin Ventura.
Maybe the Cubs could steal him away from the Indians. Wouldn't that be something?
That would be something.
I think Francona would be good.
That would be something. I wonder if he'd do it. But Epstein was the one who fired him eventually, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So probably not.
Probably not going to happen.
And John Lester.
Just one more.
Probably
yeah,
not in
that's
the clubhouse
true.
With John Lester.
Yeah, okay.
Let's talk playoffs.
Yeah, let's
enough
playoffs.
Enough manager talk.
I think that's fun. It's reminiscent. It was like weirdly very relevant to the manager.
Oh,
like
yeah,
the
for
most
sure.
manager situation.
I also think it's interesting, just like this feels like a lot of manager turnover.
Because Hurdle going away is like a pretty big one too.
Yeah, he'd been there a long time, and like that was obviously a clusterfuck at the end. So
such a garbage man, apparently.
Yeah, sounds like
something was going on there. If that team's plays
it sounds like the whole organization in Pittsburgh is a little bit
Raider-ish.
yeah. Just unpleasant in many ways.
Bengals. So the playoffs. We're watching.
They're
this
happening.
Game.
It's the bottom of the eighth inning.
Bottom of the eighth inning.
The Brewers are still in the lead.
We have...
Haters on. Let's start in the American League. We can...
see how this
plays
out.
See how this game plays
out. So let's start with the wild card game. A's-Rays. Great one.
Good one. In terms of rhyming, at least. It's
one of
the
all-time
best
great rhymes.
Rhyming wild card games. Yeah, two teams that I like a lot.
Yeah, I know. It's a
kinda
shame
sad
that they
to
have
see
to,
one go so soon.
Yeah, they're both really good. It's impossible to. Well, I guess we have to predict. That's what we're gonna do.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, one game is a crapshoot.
Is
but
it in
like,
Tampa or is it in Oakland?
It's in Oakland.
Okay,
which could be cool. I don't. Mm. I haven't heard or read anything, but I would hope they're taking off the top layer of the tarp over the top layer of seats. So it could be like 60,000
people. That place gets pretty rowdy.
Mm-hmm.
When they love their A's when the A's are good, and so I think that's going to be pretty.
So that's a huge advantage, and that's the only reason why I would hedge, just because. I'm still going to pick Rays, I think, just because Charlie Morton has been so good
this
year.
Have they announced the
A's
starter yet?
Yeah, Sean Manaea, who has been very good too, but has only thrown five games and is obviously
this kind of game, starters don't even matter. I mean, he gets one run they could get.
Yeah, sort of. But like Morton, basically his thing the entire season, and since he arrived in Houston, is like, I'm going to give you five innings of two-hit ball.
Yeah.
You know
I meant for the A's more. That's it's going to be all hands on deck.
Yeah, for sure. But, kind of Morton is, almost the prototypical playoff baseball starter right now, where, you wouldn't even want to push him too far, I think, because he has sort of this history of fragility and... Like, it just seems like...
Just get him two times through.
You're going to get five innings, like I said, five innings of two-hit ball. I mean, we'll see if that happens, but he's so dominant for a short period of time. It just seems like the perfect wild card game starter to me.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Jacob deGrom or Justin Verlander or something, but of the truly elite pitchers in the game, of sort of the next tier down, he's about as good as you could get.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm still going to pick the A's.
Yeah. Just cause,
basically. I mean, there's like no.
They have a better lineup.
They have a better lineup. They're equally good.
Matt
teams.
Chapman's probably the best player in the game, I would say.
In that game?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I don't even think it's an argument.
Yeah.
Laureano's been back, you know, like I feel like they could get to Morton. They could tag him.
Sure, they could.
I don't know. I really think this is like such an evenly
coin flip
game that
yeah.
I don't like. I'll just pick the A's.
Okay.
You know what? I'm picking the A's because I want the A's to win.
That's fair too.
Not that I don't like the Rays. I like the Rays.
Yeah. I think that's totally fair.
Yeah.
All right. Our first divergence. Ooh. At least we know that one of us will be right about one
that's
thing in
true.
These predictions.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So you have Astros and A's in the second round.
I have
Astros, Rays. Who do you got in that series?
I mean, it's the Astros.
Yep. Again, with the caveat that like short series, anything can happen. But if you're talking from like a pure talent point of view, like the Astros in a landslide.
Greinke's the worst starting pitcher that they're going to face probably.
Yeah, in
I
that
mean,
series?
He might not pitch game four if they're up like 2-1, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I know that any of them can get hit and like Verlander's been given, but doesn't Verlander have like the third lowest whip since the playoff era or something?
In the playoffs, you mean?
No, like it's
or
since
just
the,
like in his career
in the division era since 69 is something like Pedro and someone else, and then he's like
oh, I didn't
he
know
only
that.
Gives up home runs.
Yeah, Verlander's
no,
season's been
no
weird.
One
a lot
puts
of solo home runs.
Play. Yeah, it's all home
and
runs.
That's it.
Yeah, he's been so good, and Cole has been like
better.
I thought Verlander
almost.
Was going to win the Cy Young for sure, and then Cole's been so hot. Then now I don't know.
Yeah. I think Verlander will probably still win it. And obviously it makes sense. They're going with him in game one in all likelihood just because like he's the dog you want to bet on in a fight.
Exactly. And he's the guy that can go eight.
And he's a dog.
He's a dog. He's a literal dog.
He's a dog,
he's a dog
man.
In an Astros.
Yeah.
It seems too hard to think that the A's or Rays can beat the Astros in five game series. They definitely could, but.
Yeah, kind of. Well, it's interesting because I think I feel like I've said it's interesting like a dozen times on this podcast, but there's a lot of
interesting
stuff going on. In a way, it's you will almost want to face the Astros in a five game series over a seven game series, just because like the randomness increases, you know, which maybe decreases their talent advantage.
Yeah.
But in another way. In a seven-game series, you're definitely seeing, like, Wade Miley at least once, right? Or, like, it's a bullpen game or something.
Seeing, yeah.
But in a five-game series, you're only seeing aces, probably.
That's true. That.
But, yes, I don't really think it... Oh, a little duck snort in the playoff game, in the wild card game.
What's happening
and
here?
And now Lorenzo Cain...
is just sprinting...
sprinting to second base because nobody was covering
that's
second.
That's like the sliders.
That was Ryan Zimmerman, I think,
yeah,
pitch hitting.
Zimmerman. It was Zimmerman.
A nice little moment for him if this is maybe the end of his career.
Broke his bat. Do you think he's done?
I think his contract is up, and he's had a pretty poor season. I imagine he'd have to either take like, you know, a minor league deal, or else sign for like 4 years and $40 million with the Rockies for some reason.
That's a perfect team for him to go to. And then he's somehow playing center field.
He's got life in his legs.
All right. So I there's just no way I can not pick the Astros.
Yeah, so we're both going Astros.
So Yankees-Twins, which
Twins
I think
is
the most intriguing series. I think it's the most intriguing first-round series.
I think I would agree with you. If for nothing else, no other reason than they're very similar teams. Similar in their construction and the way that they're good, like hitting a ton of home runs.
We could see 30 home runs in this series.
Like legitimately, yeah. I heard that the Yankees led the league in runs and the Twins were like four behind them something like that. So
plus the whole, like the Yankees are like the Twins' white whale at this point. They've been their bane for however long.
Yeah, I'm really torn because I hate the Twins, but I would love to see them crush the Yankees.
Right? Yeah.
For kind of that reason of like they've lost 12 in a row, 13 playoff games in a row, and 10 of the last 10 of them have been to the Yankees or something ridiculous like that.
It's been brutal for the Twins, and they're both 100-win teams.
Mm-hmm. It's tough to pick. I think I'll go with the Yankees just because if you bet on the Yankees over the history of humankind, you basically always win.
That would be interesting if you just always bet on the Yankees in every postseason series, the same amount.
Yeah.
With even odds.
Yeah.
How far out ahead you would be.
Yeah.
If you just bet $100 every time every postseason series the Yankees have been in.
Yeah.
From somehow since 1921, since they first made the World Series, where would you be?
That's a good question. I suppose the answer would be you just need to find their all-time record. Yeah. And
well, series record.
Postseason series.
It'd be pretty easy to figure out. I mean, you'd definitely come out on top.
Yeah.
Because
just
in the World Series alone, I think they've won 27. I think they're like 27-13 in the World Series. So you're already plus 1,400 just in the World Series.
Who are you picking?
I'm taking the Twins because kind of the same. I feel like they're pretty even. I don't think that. I think the only big thing you could say about the Twins is that the Yankees have more postseason experience, which is not an insignificant thing to talk about, obviously. But I do think that they're pretty evenly matched. Otherwise, I think the Twins have a chip on their shoulder, and I haven't watched a lot of them this year, but a lot of people. This is feels like one of those teams that like. Even if they don't win this series, that fans are going to remember for a long time is like a fun, you know what I mean? Like this is like a benchmark Twins team,
for sure.
Teams like that can catch fire and end up in the world.
Definitely. World I mean, series. With their lineup, like really, all they need is the pitching staff to, you know. If the pitching staff can keep the other team to 4 runs a game, like the Twins have a pretty decent chance in any game. So
exactly, yeah.
You know that,
that's a tall order.
Yeah, that's true of the Yankees as well.
It's like the same. It's really. Is like
I do
the same
think
team.
You know the Yankees have gotten Severino back, which obviously helps their cause a lot. The Yankees probably have the best bullpen in baseball in a talent level.
Right.
And like I said, it's hard to bet against them.
Batanzas is out, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, I'll take the Twins. To me, it's almost as much of a coin flip as the A's Rays.
Oh, you're taking the Twins.
I did not expect that. Taking the Twins.
I can't find these stats on baseball reference. I just don't know where to go. But
it's okay. We'll figure it out. I think it's a tough one to find like series wins.
Somebody tweet at us if you know.
Oh, if you know, yeah. I bet you won money. I bet you're up. So now you have Astros-Yankees.
Astros-Yankees.
And I have Twins-Astros.
Mm-hmm. And are we going on unanimous Astros World Series? That's what I'm going.
I'm already kind of going on the Twins beating the Yankees and Astros.
Yeah, that would be... I mean, again, nothing is impossible in a playoff series, but like, it's just... so hard to see the Astros losing to anyone, which does not guarantee they'll win the World Series, but like they just have no holes on that team.
Yeah, it's
unless the bullpen sort of like melts down in a way that it almost did in 2017 for them, you know, when Giles was sort of like melting down and it seemed like they needed Justin Verlander to pitch a complete game every game.
Yeah, which he could.
Which he did. Yeah. And that's why they won.
but they also had like Charlie Morton though.
Charlie Morton and Lance McCullers.
Yeah.
But I mean, we'll save our World Series picks till when we get to the World Series because there is a similarly dominant team in the National League.
Spoiler. Oh, Soto!
Wow.
Whoa.
Juan Soto.
Oh no!
Wow.
That's not even Braun. I guess he wouldn't be in right.
So Juan Soto just hit a single that the Brewers right fielder overran, and it cleared the bases.
Oh, no. Soto got thrown out, though.
Well, but the Nationals are now leading this game.
Oh, everyone scored.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you still don't want to get thrown out.
Who?
That's young Eric.
Who
wow.
overran that?
Look
I
at
wonder.
These Nationals oh, fans.
That might be a rookie. They were starting...
number two.
What was his name that they were starting as we digest this in real time
on
the podcast?
Oh, we're going to see his name.
Schaefer, I think.
Oh, wow.
No, Grisham.
Base is clearing.
Wow. Huge error.
Well, this helps my predictions that I was thinking about this morning.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You were going to pick the Nats?
I was going to pick the Nats in this game. I promise that was a real thing. I was going to pick the Nats in this game.
Well, you can still make that pick.
I still will make that pick. It's not over.
It's our next pick, I would say.
Yeah. This morning I was thinking about it because I knew we were recording the podcast and I knew we were going to do this. And so I was going to pick the Nats.
I was also going to pick the Nats, and then I was going to switch to the Brewers.
Well, of course.
Because the Nationals were losing by two, and now I'm going to pick the Nationals again because it's the ninth inning and they're ahead by one.
Although
that is like the classic time for the Nationals to melt down.
Definitely. I mean, the reasoning for that one is it's a miracle the Brewers are here in the first place.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, missing their best player.
It's insulting not to go with the Nats.
Arguably their second best player currently has a sprained ankle and is playing in this game.
Yeah.
And the Nationals have Max Scherzer.
And Steven Strasburg.
And
Corbin.
Corbin.
All of them are going to get Cy Young votes, I think.
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, definitely Strasburg and Scherzer.
Yeah, I would think. Well, although I think Cy Young ballots are only three pitchers, so you'd have to be comfortable listing three Nationals.
Then they won't.
Yeah. But,
well, they might. But someone. I mean, no one's going to put Corbin on there if you only pick three.
Over DeGrom.
Well, I'm saying someone could pick like DeGrom, Ryu, and Corbin.
Oh, yeah.
But
that's
like,
true.
Then I was like, is anybody that's really going to pick Corbin over Scherzer? Anyway, still all three of them are great. It's like Houston Light.
Yeah. yeah. In some ways, like, it's just Houston.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't know that, like, pitchers are demonstrably worse as a whole than the Astros.
No.
Like, maybe
they didn't have like the gaudy numbers that Cole and Verlander had.
Yeah.
But I mean, Strasburg and Scherzer are in the Cy Young conversation, and Scherzer's only out of it because he faded.
They're kind of like weird mirrors of each other.
Yeah.
Like, Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer are sort of like the same, not the same stuff wise, but like in profile, in league
big
standing.
Strikeout. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Strasburg and Cole, at least coming into the season, like,
yeah.
I mean, Cole has been much better this year, but like coming into the season, both former number one picks.
Yeah. What
and
a
then
parallel.
Corbin and Greinke, both Diamondbacks.
Wow,
there is something here. The threads are unraveling in front of me.
Scherzer and Verlander, both ex-Tigers.
Yeah, sure.
Cole and Strasburg, both highly touted prospects.
Yeah. All three of them are guys. There's
that. Well, they've all pitched in the American and National League, except for Verlander and Strasburg and Corbin. Okay, it fell apart.
So we got Daniel Hudson in to close this game for the Nationals. Trade deadline acquisition.
And Michael A. Taylor is now playing in right field. That guy who is still looks like he's two kids pretending to be an adult in a baseball uniform. Okay, so we're both taking the Nationals now that they're up 4-3 in the bottom of the ninth, or in the ninth, top of the ninth. Then the next series we'll talk about then.
Shout out to producer Joe, by the way, who was going to be here for this recording and then opted not to, but his beloved Brewers melted down in front of him. Hader, too. Of all the relief pitchers to melt down in the playoffs, Josh Hader is probably the one I would have picked last.
I think he's done it a few times, though. I feel like he's a real Mariano Rivera in that sense.
a real greatest reliever of all time in that sense.
Anyway. So, wait, do we move on?
We got Braves and we got Cardinals.
Oh. I'm picking the Braves. I'm never picking the Cardinals. Are you kidding me?
I'm picking the Cardinals.
You are?
Yeah.
Fine.
Cardinals, devil magic.
I hate them.
I do think the Braves are the better team, but the Cardinals, betting against the Yankees, betting against
it
the Cardinals, you probably won't go, or
oh,
betting
could you imagine
on the Cardinals, you won't go broke. Sorry?
I'm not going to watch the Cardinals-Yankees World Series if that's what happens. I'm telling you that right now.
We'll just do a podcast
blind.
I thought you might come in and analyze blind.
Oh, analyze. Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. I'll come in and I'll talk about it.
Like, boy, Gary Sanchez is in this series.
Grisham. That's who missed that ball.
I said that a while ago.
I thought you said Schaefer.
I did, and then I said no, it was Grisham.
Oh, okay. You're picking the Cardinals. I'm picking the Braves. I'm picking the Braves because I think that they're the more fun team. I think they're better, true. But also it's like they're such a fun team. I'm sure the Cardinals are fun too. I don't care. So that Flaherty guy is supposed to be pretty fun.
Oh. Yeah, another Cy Young contender.
God, the Kimbrel killed me. We can't talk about the Cardinals. No, it's not out of nowhere because he.
Well,
all of those losses were by one run.
Oh, yeah, to the Cardinals. Okay,
it was to the Cardinals.
Yeah, but you were talking about Jack Flaherty.
I can't even concentrate. We got to move on. So,
okay.
Nationals versus Dodgers.
Yeah. I'm going to pick the Dodgers, but I will say, like, again, that Nationals rotation, like, if there's any team in the National League that could give the Dodgers a serious run for their money, it's actually the Nationals.
And that's why I'm picking
the Nationals.
The Washington Nationals to upset the Los Angeles
well,
Dodgers.
Well, Daniel Hudson just gave up a hit, so they could still not make it out of this game.
He's definitely going to try to steal.
He's got a sprained ankle.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, so NLCS, Dodgers for me.
You got Dodgers
Cardinals,
a classic matchup.
The best of baseball here in October.
You can't even. Yankees A's would be the equivalent. If we had a Yankees A's Dodgers, I think those are like the four most successful, or Red Sox are maybe more successful than the A's, but those are like top four all time franchises.
Yeah, maybe. I would say the Red Sox are probably not more successful than the A's since they were terrible for the large majority of their history. So I would believe that
it was Red Sox.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I would say
the Giants are probably up there.
Yeah, maybe Giants.
And, but you know, anyway, that's a very big. But so you got Cardinals, Dodgers, classic. I have Nationals, Braves.
Another classic.
The battle of the NL East. This I know I'm being silly. Obviously, the Dodgers are the best team.
It's
but
fine.
I'm
serious. I could see the Dodgers.
It is the worst matchup for them. I really do because of the pitching. I didn't just pick it out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I thought about it this morning. I was like, if they survive this game, and this is kind of what you're saying with the Astros. Anything can happen. 5-game series. Mm-hmm. Like Jansen blows 2 games.
Yeah.
Suddenly it's 0-2 or 1-2, and you know the Nationals have a home game for Game 4.
Yeah.
And Scherzer's on the mat.
I'll say that, the reason that I think it'll be tough for any team, any NL team to beat the Dodgers is, their lineup relative to the other NL lineups
so
is just,
better.
Relentless. They don't have holes, and beyond that, their bench, they could be bringing, you know, Gavin Lux off the bench.
Yeah,
they could be bringing on, they have a ton of talent just, up and down the lineup,
and
so they can play matchups.
So
as well.
Many of these players can play anywhere.
Did Josh Hader just
no?
Double?
Was that Josh Hader? Whoa!
No, it was Matt Gamble. So the Nationals just won.
Yeah,
wow.
Robles was excited. Fun energy. It seemed like the Nationals fans
were
going crazy.
Holy shit! This is they just pulled a reverse Nationals.
Coming to LA.
Yeah. Okay.
But I was talking to someone at work about it, and he asked if Lux was going to make the postseason lineup, and we're going through their players, and it was
who do you leave off?
Who do you leave off?
I don't think they would.
You can't leave Chris Taylor off. You can't leave Muncy. But then we're like, could be. And we were like, we were talking leaving Seager off, which they never would. But it's
that'd be crazy.
It would be crazy, but it's like that team is so deep that you're like, they could leave Seager off and win a series. And everyone can play everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be a bummer if they left Kike off.
Yeah, such a fan favorite.
Yeah.
And clubhouse. I would be surprised if they did.
Yeah, me too. So you have Cardinals.
Cardinals, Dodgers. I'm going Dodgers.
Of course. Good. I have Braves, Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pumped.
Hot hand?
First World Series.
Well, Daniel Hudson's a lockdown closer.
yes, you can see. Only give up one base runner.
They got Strasburg in middle relief. So the deep pitching staff, obviously.
There's Iowan Jeremy Hellickson.
I didn't know that he was still in the
either.
Majors.
I just saw him. So now you have a Dodgers-Astros World Series, which is almost certainly going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a Nationals-Astros World Series.
I'm going to go Dodgers. I think it's time. I think they can do it. And I think I'm actually deviating from my preseason pick. I think I picked
the Astros
over Dodgers, in the World Series. Or no, actually, I think I picked Astros over Brewers in the World Series.
I think
you
might have, yeah, because I don't think you would have picked the Dodgers to lose three in a row.
Yeah, and that dream dies.
I think if the Dodgers make it to the World Series, they're gonna have a lot. They're gonna be jazzed.
Yeah, but there's gonna be a tremendous amount of pressure on them as
That's
well.
True. Man, an Astros Dodgers World Series, those are gonna be such fun games. That's gonna there's
oh,
gonna be
for sure.
so much. It's like that's like an all time.
Like, definitely, like just based on talent level of the teams.
Just
who
like
knows
the
how the
series
game, it
from
could be
2 years
a boring
ago.
Boring series.
It could be, yeah. But like, just the energy, especially going into Game One. I mean, it felt like when the Lakers and Celtics were both good again. You know, like or just like Warriors, Cavs got to that point. It's like it's just like the two best teams, and they had a crazy World Series 2 years ago. Like
that's kind
really
of the series I'm rooting for as well, just because it does feel like the best matchup and like the natural. This is a weird thing to say, but almost like the conclusion of like this era of baseball. Like obviously the Dodgers and Astros will still be super good going forward, but it feels like
it's a nice cap.
Yeah, it's a nice cap to sort of these two teams being the dominant ones over the last few years and their ways of team building sort of seeping out into the rest of the league.
Right.
I think it would
it's like a
feel very
it's
poetic.
Yeah, it's
way.
Poetic. A Yankees Dodgers World Series though would be also first time since 81.
Yeah,
and obviously
that's
a very,
certainly
very
storied like,
history.
Yeah, arguably the two premier franchises
and
in the
it's always
the
fun when it's an LA versus New York thing.
Yeah, because New York sucks.
Yeah, New York sucks hard. So, but I have the Nationals Astros.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm gonna go the Astros because how
naturally
naturally.
Again, this same as the, well, I guess not the same as the Dodgers-Nationals. Like, behind the Dodgers, I think the Nationals are the team that could give the Astros the best series.
Yeah, I mean, to me, all this fun stuff we just said about Astros-Dodgers just makes that a very fun series to look forward to. But the idea of what we said, Scherzer-Verlander Game 1, Cole Strasburg, Corbin Greinke.
Mm-hmm.
Is so crazy. And yeah. Of course, all those games are going to be like 9-7, you know, like, but
all those guys will pitch three innings apiece.
It is just like, to me, that's like also another fun thing to just have like these powerhouses come in. And plus, like, all the fun young players like Rendon and Soto. And
it also feels like maybe the Nationals, we haven't seen Dave Martinez in the playoffs, so who knows if
maybe he's a
that
it,
he would have the same quick hook. Maybe he goes against the grain, and somehow they are able to ride their starting pitching. You know,
I mean,
farther than any other teams.
The crazy thing about Scherzer and Verlander, though, is that they're both just exceptions to that rule. I don't like if they're hot and they have given up fewer than two runs. It's going to take a lot to take them out in an American League park, especially.
Yeah.
So I think that they make themselves exceptions to the rules. Like Martinez, it's almost out of Martinez and what's his name? Hinch's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, in a way.
I
think.
Can't remember how he dealt with Verlander in the last 2 years. Did he have a quicker hook on him or did
I don't think necessarily. I mean, obviously when they won, he pitched very deep into games.
Yeah.
I think like I would say he probably has a quicker hook on Verlander now than like a manager would on a pitcher like Verlander 5 years ago, but doesn't mean that it's a quick hook still, you know.
He's
it's probably you're
seven.
Seeing him go well, I don't know about seven. You're probably seeing him go six at least.
And Scherzer of course needs to be healthy.
Yeah.
If he's back. I mean he gave up three runs. He settled down though. He gave up three runs in the first two innings and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
In Strasburg.
Yeah, he didn't look bad.
Yeah, I'll go Astros over Nationals. I think there aren't a lot of matchups that I like this postseason because a lot of matchups, you can find something interesting about everyone.
Huh.
I think really only like Rays Cardinals might be like like a dud. You know what I mean? Like Dodgers Yankees, Dodgers Astros. The more the Twins make it, because you're probably seeing a ton of home runs, and plus that's like a fun upstart like story. Like
I
the
would
Rays
hate
in 2008.
It if the Twins won the World
you would.
Series,
but.
Especially if it was against the Dodgers. I'd be rooting Dodgers so hard.
Twins Dodgers.
I'd be blue head to toe.
That's a rematch of the 65 World Series. So that, you know, although everyone's feeling that.
We're sitting here recording a baseball podcast, like talking very in depth about baseball. And my first thought when you said that was, what a fucking dork. So I apologize. It was my first instinct before I realized this was the only appropriate setting in which you could ever possibly say that.
Just say that right away. Also, the Twins are in the World Series are, I got to do the math real quick. 0-10 on the road in World Series games.
The Twins are?
Or they're, wait, they've lost 0-9 on the road in World Series games.
Oh, wow.
As the Twins.
Interesting.
And they are.
And they have, and yet they've won two World Series, right?
Yeah, they're 11-1 at home.
Wow.
They've only lost, and they were undefeated. So the World Series, they lost to the Dodgers. They got swept in LA and then lost game seven at home. And then the Cardinals and Braves World Series that they won was 4 wins at home, 3 losses
wow.
at home. So that would be interesting to see if that continues.
Well, it'd be especially interesting if the Twins made it because Target Field at, you know, in early November
true.
Would maybe not be the most hospitable place for
baseball. Especially for some of these warm
played.
Weather fellas.
Yeah, for the Dodgers.
But Twins-Braves is a fun matchup, I feel like.
Yeah, it would be a bit anticlimactic, that matchup, if none of these powerhouse teams made the World Series.
But the Twins, like, won 100. Like, I know they're not as powerhouse as the other three.
Dodgers, Yankees, Astros.
I totally get what you're saying. You're completely right as far as, like, the mindset goes. But, I mean, they're a 100-win team.
They're good enough, for sure.
I don't think it would be, like, as anticlimactic if it was, like, the Rays and Brewers, you know,
right.
where you're
yeah,
just like,
sure.
The Rays were good. But it's just like not a lot of attention. The Brewers only really made it because the Cubs took a dump. No, that's not fair because they went like 14-5 or whatever yeah. after Yelich went down. So they earned their spot. But like,
and the Cubs took a dump.
And the Cubs took a dump. The dump definitely helped.
Well, the Cubs, at least you didn't have to be in for another lost wild card game for the
Which
Cubs.
Would have certainly happened.
Yeah.
In some ways, this is a relief because I don't think there's any chance that the Cubs would have won the World Series.
Yeah. Well, we got our predictions in. We're about out of time. I think good ep, and we'll see how the rest of the playoffs go. I'm excited to see it all play out for sure.
By next week, who knows what we'll know?
Yeah, we'll know more.
We'll know who
than
won
we
the
know now.
We'll know
who won
the A's
Rays game.
Card yeah,
at the very least.
At the very least.
And before we know it, it'll be hot stove time, baby.
Oh,
my time of the year.
That's your favorite.
Yeah, fuck baseball. Give me meetings.
Baseball is a meeting. I was talking to James Mannion, who's a Nationals fan. He's on the Sliders. He's on our baseball
team. Comedian on our baseball team.
Very funny. Very good at baseball.
Yeah.
Nationals fan, so congratulations. But he was like, I was talking to him last night, and he was like, baseball is such a weird sport because it's basically like you're watching 18 people or whatever be perfect over and over and over again,
mm-hmm.
and then you're basically waiting for a mistake to happen, and then when a mistake happens, it's the biggest possible deal. And I was like, yeah, that's the best way.
That's a great intellectual deconstruction of baseball.
Yeah, and I was
sure.
like, oh yeah, it is, because like the pitcher's doing well, the batter hits the ball, hits it to right to someone, that person makes a perfect throw, everyone's doing their job.
Boy, this speaking of mistakes, huge mistake by that kid Grisham. They start the right fielder. They
Schaefer, you mean?
Now you're in my head.
No,
it's Grisham. Only playing because Yelich is hurt. They had him leading off the game.
Yelich would never have made that.
Yeah, hit. He's a rookie. He's got, you know, a couple dozen games in the majors
what
or
a
something
night
like
he's
that.
Have.
Brutal. I'm sure that his teammates will be very supportive, but like, I know how much I beat myself up for fucking up an easy play in the field in a meaningless, like, city league. Imagine.
Here's the solace. That game would have been tied, though.
Yeah,
had he not
still a big difference, though.
No, he lost the game for them. But what I'm saying is, in those situations, you can have a little solace in the fact that the Nationals.
Right. It wouldn't have been a foregone conclusion either way. It would have been sort of back to.
It was a tie game, regardless. So the Nationals could have come up and hit a homer the next. I mean, that could have happened anyway. But like, my point is that it's. I think it is way worse if.
If it was a two-run error instead of a one-run error.
If he would have stopped the tying run from scoring by not making that error.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to help the kid out.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Such a quick turnaround from, like, we're going to win this game to, like, we have three more outs to get. You know, we have three chances to not lose this game.
That sucks.
Tough.
That's tough.
Anyway,
but
on that exciting note.
prediction I made this morning in my brain.
Came true. That's a good sign for your first prediction.
I'm going to get them all right.
Perfect postseason. Let's do it.
It's never happened.
Well, thank you guys for listening. Thank you to Boardwalk and to Off the Bench again for their continued support. Sorry to producer Joe for the Brewers.
Yes, I am sorry.
Collapse.
For Joe.
He's probably hurting a little bit. But stick with us. We'll be back over the rest of the playoffs to talk more playoff action. So we will see you guys then.
Bye.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.